You know, I mentioned, you know, Malin's been running around. I mean, driving everywhere, doing everything, because we're going to have a fun time on Thursday night for those of you that have qualified for Nights on Broadway and have got your Western wear and all that kind of stuff. I picture Ernie, the very first time I ever met Ernie, he came up to me and he handed me a little package, and I didn't get a chance to open it right then, but I took it home, and it was a cowboy belt buckle. And to this day, I remember how beautiful that cowboy belt buckle was. And it just made me love Ernie, have an endearing heart for somebody like Ernie, and how important fly-ins are to our family and how we feel about each other. But I'll tell you, I had a little I had a little Twilight Zone moment last night because Malin was helping me get my presentation ready for the fly-in, and as she does all the time. She's freaking amazing that way. And as I looked, I said, oh, I've got to do the presentation Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning. And Jackie said storytelling, and it made me think of our quote that the most powerful person in the world is a storyteller, from Steve Jobs. And it got me thinking about Steve Jobs. And I thought, I'm just going to look up Steve Jobs. And lo and behold, I looked up Steve Jobs last night. And he died 10 years ago yesterday, last night, 10 years ago. First of all, I can't believe it's been 10 years. And secondly, it feels like it's been 10 years. You know, it's both. But I had a little Twilight Zone moment, and I thought maybe I should go back and revisit that statement that the most powerful person in the world is a storyteller. So Liz told Cindy on the call yesterday morning how much she loved our Saturday morning call. And I thought, do you know why Liz loved the Saturday morning call? That she was in the middle of an exercise class, and yet she was touched by what she heard on the call. It's because of the excitement and testimonials of some of our distributors. You know, Russell's story about his wife, Susan, endears us to him. And it's full of sincerity, and Rochelle and Christy. Oh my gosh, the enthusiasm. You know, Cindy and I were talking about, you know, new blood. When you get new blood of any kind in your organization, everything starts to happen positively. And so just hearing those testimonials from them and having Christy on the phone this morning, you know, it's great. And it had an impact on Liz. And then yesterday, pre-call, we were talking about different things, and Cindy made a powerful comment that I thought was full of sincerity on the call yesterday about a person who won a $700 million lottery, had a $700 million lottery ticket in Southern California. And do you remember what Cindy said when I asked the question, hey, what would you do if you won $700 million? And do you guys remember how Cindy responded without hesitation? And though she'd thought about it a million times, she answered instantly that she'd buy 100,000 fuel packs to give away to people for their health. And that's why I call them health packs. But more importantly, it was the spontaneity of Cindy saying, hey, I'd buy 100,000 fuel packs. I can honestly tell you, I don't think anybody else would think of that like that. It's because she cares for other people. It's the same thing that Liz felt on her call Saturday. It's the same thing I felt when Cindy did that. Testimonials are your most powerful tool because they are storytelling. Yes, as Steve Jobs absolutely said, the most powerful person in the world is a storyteller. And it's our most powerful tool as a result. Because of the advent of technology that basically Steve Jobs helped usher in, I have a little recording of Steve Jobs in his own words sharing a story at Stanford University. And I just want to share it with you, and I'm just going to play it for just a couple of minutes like we do sometimes with Jim Rohn or Zig Ziglar or other things. And I sent out a text this morning, and I talked a little bit about, you know, how Toy Story happened. And, you know, Toy Story, of course, was the first computer animated movie. I mean, if you want to go back to the first real animated movies, I guess you could go back to Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, and Disney, and then turning into, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and, you know, all those things, incredible things. But it was the first computer animated movie created, and a lot of people don't know how it happened. So Steve Jobs gave a commencement address at Stanford, and I'm not going to play all of it, but in order to remember the fact that he passed away 10 years ago, he told one story to the Stanford graduation commencement class that I just thought was incredible. And I don't know how I missed it before, but I missed it, so I want to share it with you. So here it is. Hopefully you can hear it okay. If you can't, just text me and I'll turn it up.
Found what I love to do early in life. Woz and I started Apple in my parents' garage when I was 20. We worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just the two of us in a garage into a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. We just released our finest creation, the Macintosh, a year earlier, and I just turned 30. And then I got fired. How can you get fired from a company you started? Well, as Apple grew, we hired someone who I thought was very talented to run the company with me. And for the first year or so, things went well. But then our visions of the future began to diverge, and eventually we had a falling out. When we did, our board of directors sided with him. And so at 30, I was out, and very publicly out. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was gone, and it was devastating. I really didn't know what to do for a few months. I felt that I had let the previous generation of entrepreneurs down, that I had dropped the baton as it was being passed to me. I met with David Packard and Bob Noyce and tried to apologize for screwing up so badly. I was a very public failure, and I even thought about running away from the valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit. I'd been rejected, but I was still in love. And so I decided to start over. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again, less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. During the next 5 years, I started a company named Next, another company named Pixar, and fell in love with an amazing woman who would become my wife. Pixar went on to create the world's first computer animated feature film, Toy Story, and is now the most successful animation studio in the world. In a remarkable turn of events, Apple bought Next, and I returned to Apple, and the technology we developed at Next is at the heart of Apple's current renaissance. And Laureen and I have a wonderful family together. I'm pretty sure none of this would have happened if I hadn't been fired from Apple. It was awful tasting medicine, but I guess the patient needed it. Sometimes life's going to hit you in the head with a brick. Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love, and that is as true for work as it is for your lovers. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. And don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking. Don't settle.
I just wanted to share that with you guys because it hit me that when Russ talked about his wife, Susan, and when I did a three-way call with Cindy and talked to Emily and how she didn't know me from Adam, but just burst into, you know, she said, I don't know how to say this without crying about how these products have changed her life. Listening to Christy and how excited she is, and Rochelle, how excited she is. And listening to Cindy say, I'd give out 100,000 fuel packs, and listening to Liz be touched by that. Guys, it's what we do. It's why we're here. And I could truly say after hearing that, I knew Cindy loved what she did as a result of her instant spontaneity in her response. Melin and I love what we do here at Limitless. We love you guys. That's part of the reason we're so excited about the fly-in. And also so sad that we won't see some of you at this fly-in, but hopefully we'll see you guys in February, you know, for the next one. But I just wanted to share that thought process with you this morning from a storytelling standpoint. By the way, when he was speaking at that commencement, he said, you know, I have three stories I want to share with you. And that was the second story that he wanted to share. My point being is probably he hit the lowest point of his life after being fired from one of the greatest creations of all time in Apple computers. And I just can't even imagine how low that would take him to be fired from your own company that you started. That's just like mind-boggling to me. And so what's he do? He goes out and he starts Pixar. And Pixar goes on and becomes not just a movie animation studio or using computers for animation. It became the world's biggest animation studio ever and still is. Pixar's an amazing company that I believe now Disney came back and ended up buying. So, you know, the story here, and, you know, I'm sure if you said to Steve Jobs when he was trying to figure out Apple computers in the garage with Steve Wozniak, that, you know, someday you're going to own the world's largest animated movie studio, I'm sure that would have blown his mind from that standpoint. And when he delivered that address, you know, he had been diagnosed with that cancer that later on killed him. But it's been 10 years since he passed, and so this was just kind of a little tip of the hat to the fact that storytelling, the most powerful person in the world is a storyteller. And hopefully you will use that talent. And if you don't have that testimonial yet that you want to share with other people so they can tell how sincere you are, that you will lean on others like Russ or anybody or Emily or anybody that you see that Gerald, I mean, I can think of story after story after story. We'd be on the phone all day about this. But anyway, we just want you guys to know how much we love you and how excited we are to have you in this company. But guys, learn to share those stories with others. Learn to be a good storyteller.